Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Gaza. The negotiations underway in Cairo are moving in a positive direction. We don't know it through a glass darkly about details. They're critical. However, I welcome Cliff May of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing his Washington Times column most recently. We do know that the president has said there's a success. We wait the details. But in the meantime, Cliff has done us a favor. I'm going back to what we can identify as the beginning of the monster called Hamas, the gangsters of October 7th, 2023. The year is 2005, a significant event in the life of Gazans and the Israelis who lived in the Gaza Strip until that moment. Cliff, a very good evening to you. What happened in 2005? What have we learned about those events? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Yes, in 2005, the Israelis withdrew from Gaza. They withdrew every farmer. They withdrew every soldier, every cemetery, every synagogue. They left behind high-tech greenhouses they thought the Palestinians could use, make flowers and fruit to send to Europe. It was soon trashed. The Israelis were testing a proposition. The proposition was that there was a land for peace deal to be had. If the problem was that there were Jews, Israelis in Gaza, which the Palestinians wanted for their own, eventually to be a state, then okay, we'll leave and maybe we'll normalize relations with whatever evolves in Gaza after that and see if we can extend it to what's called the West Bank. What happened instead between 2005 and 2007? Hamas took over. They did so violently. They expelled the Palestinian Authority. They threw people off roofs. They kneecapped people. Very, very tough. Once Hamas took over, what happened? The international donor community sent in huge amounts of aid, huge amounts. And the United Nations sent in various agencies to provide all kinds of social services, healthcare, education. Of course, Hamas set the rules. Education had to teach children to hate Israelis and hate Jews. If there were to be a hospital, it might have a command and control center for Hamas underneath it. And meanwhile, Hamas went on to build the tunnel network, a subterranean infrastructure. I don't think the world has ever seen anything like it. Probably cost millions, billions, actually. And the idea was, when the war came, Hamas would hide in the tunnels, pop out to kill Israelis, go back in, leaving on the streets above civilians who would act as human shields for them on the streets and in the buildings, all of which had been laced with explosives. The Israelis should have seen this coming. They should have known what those tunnels were about and how extensive they were. There was a kind of a perfect storm of failure. The result was October 7th, 2 years ago, and the war that has followed since.
The 2005 event was a mistaken policy, land for peace. Mm. We still hear that, Cliff. It's fantastic to me that after all these years of tragedy, there are senior diplomats who believe that there's a formula somewhere. Hasn't that failed a number of times? Didn't it fail with the Clinton administration? Didn't it fail with the Bush administration? Didn't it fail with the Obama administration? Do I remember correctly?
100%. And diplomats just continue to repeat the same refrains over and over again. And the other proposition, of course, is a two-state solution. Well, Hamas doesn't want a two-state solution. Hamas believes, it's in its charter, that Israel will exist until Islam, not Palestinians, until Islam obliterates Israel. What Hamas wants, because they are jihadis, because they are Muslim Brotherhood, they want an emirate that will be part of the coming caliphate. They say so very clearly. People simply deny it and say, no, they just want statehood. That's all they want. It is not what they want. You could have it. You could have two states, but if one of them is run by Hamas, it will be a state preparing for the next war. The war we're talking about is not a new war. The war we're talking about goes back, I'm sorry, I'm going to do a little more history, 1,400 years, when an Islamic army sprang out of Arabia and conquered most of the civilized world, including the territory that the imperialists from Rome had renamed Palestine. That was the origin of the jihad. Hamas is still fighting that jihad to conquer the world, to reestablish a great Islamic caliphate and empire.
The way it's been presented to me is that Hamas's aim is the destruction of the state of Israel. Is that accurate? That's their mission?
That is absolutely their mission, and it is for a theological purpose. Hamas's belief is that any territory ever conquered by Muslims becomes, by definition, an endowment, a waqf is the Arabic word, an endowment from Allah to the Muslims, and it is their religious duty, their obligation to recover that land. That's why they will talk about Spain as well, eventually. They have, but beyond those lands that have been conquered by Muslim armies are the lands that must be conquered eventually until you have peace on earth, which means submission of all to Allah and to Islamic law, also known as Sharia. That's their theology. That's their ideology. People prefer to turn a blind eye to it because it's inconvenient to know that about Hamas. Now, that doesn't mean all Muslims believe that. By no means, that's not the case. They don't believe that the leaders of Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, don't believe that. I don't think the Saudis believe that anymore. The Saudis are not looking to conquer the world for an Islamic empire. But that is what Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, and the rulers of Iran, that's what they fervently believe. And I think it's faith-based.
Is there a tendency now, and I don't know, you're in Washington, to believe that this is solved, that it will go back to peace and building again? Do they think that way? Because they've thought that way in 2005 as well.
I think a lot of people do. And what we should realize, this is a ceasefire. We'll have, I think, we hope, with the release of the hostages first, and President Trump was right to do it this way, we will have a cessation of hostilities. If we call it peace, that's fine, but that's not what, you know what Hamas will call it? The word they will use, the word they are using, is hudna. What's hudna? Hudna is a truce. Again, theologically determined, there can be truces in the jihad because sometimes the forces of Islam, as they see it, need to rebuild, need to regroup, need to rearm, need to prepare for the battles ahead. This, in Hamas's mind, is a hudna, a truce. It is not peace. The lion is not about to lie down with the lamb.
And your recommendation, is there any way to forestall the next iteration of violence?
Yes, make sure that Hamas has no political or military capabilities over the years ahead, and understand that we must not get complacent. The Israelis must not get complacent. They have enemies. There are no permanent victories, only permanent battles. If you understand that, you'll do fine.
And the Europeans who have, I don't want to use a strong word, of disappointed.
Well, the Europeans don't know what they're doing. I mean, they're irrelevant and they're worried about their own largely illegal immigrant populations of Muslims. All these, you know, all that President Macron or Prime Minister Starmer had to do was say, look, as soon as the hostages are released, we will recognize a Palestinian state. That would have been a useful contribution. Instead, what they did was to say, how can we appease you? How about if we recognize a Palestinian state that doesn't exist, doesn't have borders, doesn't have rulers? Won't that help? And maybe it helps, you know, Starmer and maybe in Britain and Macron in France with the riots in their streets. But it doesn't have anything whatsoever to do with what's going on in the Middle East. They are totally irrelevant.
Cliff May, Washington Times, the founder and president of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.